Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for August the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Dr. Scott Bradley is with me. His collegiate series and lifelong goal to match to preserve the nation. His website to learn more, freedomsrisingsun.com. Incredible weekly webinar videos and a whole lot more available there always. freedomsrisingsun.com. Dr. Bradley, welcome back, sir. Hope you had a delightful weekend.
Well, I don't know as I had a delightful weekend. I mean, I don't want to sound like Eeyore out of the little children's book, but sometimes it seems like there's a lot of things going on that just demand so much of your energy and time. And in addition to that, we got the smoky air here in our area, and it causes me to cough. We've talked about this before. So, you know, if I do have to blank out for a moment or two occasionally, it's because of the crappy air that we're breathing. Everything's on fire. Not in my neighborhood, by the way,
when it comes to a destroyed Liberty fire, buddy, it's in your neighborhood just like everybody else's.
You got that for sure, buddy. Man alive.
All right, so I want to talk about the fires a little bit in detail. Thanks for that incredible segue.
Hey, Wade.
Forest Service in crisis mode, says the headline. Forest Service in crisis mode. On Friday, the U.S. Forest Service told the Associated Press that they are in crisis mode with 21,000 federal firefighters working to contain fires across 14 states. They say across the region, roughly double the amount of fires they fought a year ago. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. They say double the number who fought fires the same time last year ago. The agency says roughly 100 large fires currently burn across 14 states. And they say that's in the United States now, in the Western states and Western Canada experiencing a similar reality check. According to the Forest Service, for example, they call it the Dixie Fire. How you get Dixie in California is beyond me. But the Dixie Fire, they say, in Northern California, which began a month ago, has already burned an area larger. I don't even understand this. They say already larger than 800 square miles. I don't know that I can even comprehend that kind of a fire, ladies and gentlemen, but that's what we're facing. It's not getting any better. They say this fire, this California Dixie Fire is only 31% contained, so it's going to go on for a long time. They say for Utah, smoke forecast is going to hit us this weekend, but it shouldn't stay very long. I pray that it doesn't stay very long. But here's my whole premise on this, Dr. Bradley. I get that there's out-of-control fires. They want you to believe it's global warming that causes it, the fact that you burp and live and exist, and you're at fault, and so am I, and therefore there's, you know, but I hear a few things that concern me greatly. There's no controlled burns anymore. There's no effort to manage the lands that God Almighty gave us. He told us to be good stewards thereof. There's no effort to do that I can really see, at least on a large scale. The more liberal of the area, the less they're willing to even discuss such appropriate measures. But then more importantly, though, I hear about disaster everywhere, from COVID to climate change to fires to hurricanes to tornadoes, to disasters, to earthquakes, to, I can go on and on, but I hear nothing about God, nothing. And I'm telling you, if we don't point ourselves in the right direction, sir, we are in trouble. Fires everywhere, sir, and not a hope for help, they claim.
You know, you've opened a lot of tabs, if you will, in the memory banks. And there's a lot of things I think we need to talk about. Don't get me started too much on the fires. But you know what? I do have some opinions. I have some background. I have some experience in it. And but since you mentioned God at the very end, I'll start with that one. You might remember back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You might not remember. I don't know. It's 1 and 2 Chronicles in the Jewish, tradition, if you will, are one book. But they basically start the creation and go up to the announcement by Darius to set the Jews free. They're very much a synopsis, very brief, and they largely focus on ecclesiastical and religious things, although there's some secular things thrown in there too. But they have it's a very concise review of issues. And if you look at the very end of 2 Chronicles, you'll find out that the idea that the earth had not had its Sabbath days because the people were unwilling to obey, honor, and keep the Sabbath day, that is why the Jews were taken into captive. But that's not the focus of this particular scripture in the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles. If you go to verse 14, Solomon had received understanding from heaven during the night. And here's the gist of it. I'm going to just hit verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That came to mind when you started talking about, at the very end of your review of these oanted awfuls that are happening. And I think that anciently and throughout all history, we can go back to this truism that our attitude of gratitude and our focus on God, our obedience to His commandments, is the key. And He says in this, will heal their land. People ought to go back and review First and Second Chronicles, because they do go together in Jewish literature. By the way, Ezra and Nehemiah are good follow-ons for that, and they follow right in sequence in the Bible. But at any rate, I think sometimes a synopsis review, is a good thing to see, how a people from creation down through captivity and then release by the decree of Darius. I mean, it's just a few pages of reading. It's not horribly long. And it's probably worth reading. But anyway, let's go back to the fires for just a minute. Some years ago, I did wildland firefighting. And so I have a little hands-on experience, not as much as many that are much more, well, that's my whole life. I'm not good at anything, but I have tried my hand at a bunch of things. But at any rate, the wildland firefighting issue, I believe, has gotten worse and worse and worse because of government mismanagement, largely. I mean, yes, we have dry spells and all that kind of stuff. But at no time, at any circumstance, can we justify the United States government owning one-third of the land mass of the United States. And that's what's happened with the federal usurpation of lands. I mean, if you look at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, you'll see that really and truly the limited amount of land that the general government is supposed to hold, and they can't possibly manage it well. And under their tutelage and their divine rights, if you would think of it that way, they have mismanaged this into the ground, and we are reaping the whirlwind. And California, by the way, is kind of that on steroids, because California has adopted a policy, and the way they've also handled their industry things. I mean, their power company, the way they're handling their power company, the way they're handling their lands, is kind of like a perfect storm. This Dixie Fire, I think, is probably an example of that. Every year we hear about Californians being burned to the ground everywhere. And of course, California turning their back on God and all that kind of stuff. It's a perfect storm there. It just is. I'm telling you. But it's government involvement in almost everything. And there's an old saying that was said back in New York in 1866. A judge there, Gideon John Taylor, said this. He said, no man's life, liberty, or property are safe while the legislature is in session. Now, that goes, I believe that applies to both the general legislature at the head of the government, if you will, and our state legislatures. And California has just boogered up everything they've touched, and so is our national legislature. So I think our woes can be tried back to a lot of the things you've mentioned. I think there are ways to manage land. Generally, private ownership, the people take not only pride of ownership, but they take stewardship. That's part of ownership of anything. I mean, if you're in a marriage, you have stewardship. You have a responsibility to make the marriage work. If you're a father, your husband, if you're a boss, if you're an employee, you have a job. And there's stewardship in that. And stewardship is a responsibility to do the best that can be done with that to the best of your ability. And the general government just has done a really, really, really bad job on the wildland management thing, as well as, in general, the lands that they're operating unconstitutionally, constantly, everywhere they look. So, yeah, don't get me started, Sam. I got something to say about this if you're really interested.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. It's very clear, though. I want to make this. When the Forest Service is in crisis mode, your government's in crisis mode, maybe we ought to turn to God. Maybe we ought to turn to we the people for solutions rather than the folks in crisis mode. Why are we doubling down and letting them handle it? There are better ways, ladies and gentlemen. When are we going to be acquainted with these things and insist on their implementation, huh? Until then, just expect more smoke, baby. Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to trigger Dr. Scott Bradley, go ahead and talk about unjust, unconstitutional, immoral war. Got to do it right now. What a shame, ladies and gentlemen. Biden remains silent as Taliban swarms Kabul. What a shame this story really is, ladies and gentlemen. This is sad, sad, sad. The Taliban enters presidential palace, declares victory as Afghan flees, the Epic Times of that piece. Wow, you look at this thing and you go, man, both presidents from both sides of the aisles, well, I should say several presidents, but all of them have been aboard for this. None of them have had the integrity to get us out of this mess. I don't have a problem with getting out of it. The problem I have is with the 20 years in it, the way we're backing out of it now. And the fiasco and the promises broken and the money spent and the, I mean, it can go on and on and on and on. But ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear about this. America's chaotic exit is Biden's big defeat, USA Today. But all I can tell you is when I look at this thing, I say you can't just hand it all to Biden. You got to hand it to administrations through and through for decades is the reality, ladies and gentlemen. And we should have never, ever, ever embarked on such an immoral, psychotic, satanic war in the first place. Doctor.
What a lead in. I mean, there's plenty to talk about on this thing. I think the parallels between the fall of Saigon at the end of April in 1975 can be drawn here very easily. Of course, the Paris Accords that supposedly ended the Vietnam thing with our involvement, signed in January of 73. If you haven't read a book, well, I don't know if I can recommend the book. It's an excruciatingly analytical view written by a CIA analyst that spent much of the whole war of the U.S. involvement there. Frank Schnapp was his name. The book is called A Decent Interval. And the title comes from the fact that in January of 73, Kissinger signed an agreement with the North Vietnamese that basically said, look, we know you're going to take over Southeast Asia. So just give a little decent interval before you do it so it doesn't look like the United States created a vacuum that caused you to run in and do this kind of thing. So by and when the North Vietnamese, they kind of laid back for a while, and then finally they launched an initiative to go south, and everything crumbled almost instantly. I mean, it was like people left their shoes and socks on the road to get out of there. They were running so fast. And by the 30th of April, Saigon had fallen, and the fiasco, we could talk for hours about that. But the fact of the matter is, a similar type thing has occurred in Afghanistan. And again, you speak truth when you say that it should never have been embarked upon. I've spoken against this from the very beginning. In fact, I spoke against, well, every time we have one of these unconstitutional wars, I speak against them, whether you go back and, well, how far back you want to go. I have been on record about the reasons why the deliberative process is outlined in the Constitution and why the powers lay where they lay and so on. But what happened in going into Afghanistan, as you point out, things that occurred and the fiasco as we come out, it is very, very, very parallel to what happened in Southeast Asia in 1975. If I haven't said 75 throughout this, I've been misspeaking. But at any rate, the point of the matter is that we've got bad foreign policy. It doesn't follow the Constitution, and whole countries are disasterized by it. By the way, when my youngest brother was in Afghanistan, he was at some forward operating bases, you know, a half a mile off of Pakistan. I mean, it was very forward, daily rocket attacks and all that kind of stuff. He used to send me images that he had, pictures he had taken, and I remember some Afghans sitting outside the wire, and he just had the picture labeled Taliban. And you know what? The people may have been farm workers. They may have been regular villagers. They may have been someone that were even contractors to the United States. I mean, it could have been any number of things. But the truth be known, the Taliban has never left Afghanistan. And if you talk to the common folk, they would, in one way or another, say, we're all Taliban. It is their choice to be the belief system that they are, and the United States involvement, the trillions of dollars we've spent, the thousands of lives we've expended, the intervening unconstitutionally, which has damaged the country morally in every other way, could not change the fact that the people are going to go where they're going to go. And that's kind of what happened in Southeast Asia too. I'm not saying everybody was a communist, but the United States did not teach correct principles there or in Afghanistan. And I'll just use an example, something that's related, but it's not exactly. It's the Iraqi war. That's the last constitution the United States has assisted a country in writing when the Iraq constitution was rewritten. That constitution, as soon as it was written, I got a couple of copies. I don't speak Arabic, and so I couldn't read it myself, but I got a couple of different translations of it and carefully reviewed it. It is a Soviet-style constitution. It is not a limited government, checks and balances, delegation of power, you know, enumeration of powers, all those kinds of things. There's none of that. God-given rights, none of that is in the Iraqi constitution. It's a Soviet-style constitution. Right to keep and bear arms? Forget it. Only if you're in the government. The right of freedom of speech? Oh, yeah, you got that, as limited by law. What kind of a God-given right is that? That's where we're going in America today. So America has not been the shining light on the hill in any of these things we have done, and we've tried to shoehorn them for a lot of different reasons, including money for the military-industrial complex and for increasing the size of government here at home, and the idea of subverting constitutional rule. All those kinds of things have been at play. But yes, indeed, Afghanistan is a disaster. And what Joe Biden did was a precipitous thing that could have been done without absolutely causing a collapse. I mean, Henry Kissinger at least tried to ask for a decent interval between the time they pulled out. We haven't even all the way pulled out. Biden has sent in another 5,000 troops to try and get our people extracted with as few lives lost as possible. I mean, it was a total debacle in the way the thing was logistically carried out. And I'm just appalled, shocked, and chagrined at what American foreign policy has fallen to. And we could go back and talk about, you know, the founders' policy and how it evolved and how it was applied, but we've abandoned it completely in America. Now, do I have an opinion about this? Not really.
But, Dr. Bradley, I want to highlight this really important point about this. You know, we want to basically hand this to Biden. What they love doing is handing this to the Democrats or handing this to the Republicans or whoever, you know, makes the latest misstep that gets them in a bind. But the truth is that we've been steadily pursuing this kind of, in my opinion, immoral, satanic, straight from the pit of hell agenda of unprovoked, immoral war. We've done so at tremendous moral hazard, tremendous, in my opinion, repercussions from God will be the results, if not already, will be continuing as nations are judged immediately. This is a critical thing to understand, and you can't just point at Biden. You got to point at Bush and Biden and Trump and Obama and everybody along the way. This military-industrial complex, this immoral war mentality is pervasive on both sides. Now, you hear that the Democrats are less for war and the, you know, Republicans are more hawkish and this and this and this. You hear all the garbage, but at the end of the day, is the right hand and the left hand an immoral war promoting everywhere? And we've done it literally for generations. We've become a warlike people to the point where it's almost impossible to even hint at saying, oh man, we should back away from war, or else they say you're weak or you're an enemy or you're this or you're that or you're soft or you're... And the immorality is just pervasive on all sides. And we can't let just one person like a whacked out Joe that can't even think for himself take the heat for all this. We've got to be honest and open and candid about what we've done for decades as a whole government, as a people, globally speaking. We're in over 130 plus nations, militarily speaking, as we speak right now, or militarily as we speak right now. This is nothing new. This is nothing that you can just blame in a little individual or a certain president or a certain party or a... This is pervasive everywhere, and I'm telling you, if we want God's protections and God's love and God's safety, we have got to jettison this narrative.
Well, there's no question, and you talk about the universal nature of it. I think back into September 2012 when the United States Senate had a Senate Joint Resolution 41, which sticks my mind as being the resolution in which the Senate sought to delegate to Obama the authority to begin a war with Iran, and it passed 90-1 because the senators are such warmongering bastards. And I'm sorry for that, but they have lost their integrity. They don't look to their father, who they should look to.
So they anyway, have betrayed. They have betrayed us all on the altar of the military-industrial complex and pro-war and immorality, that's for sure. Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman continue in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Taliban leaders declared Monday the war is over after taking control of Afghanistan. President Biden remained on vacation. Speaker Nancy Pelosi issued a statement on Saturday, quote, "The president is to be commended for the clarity of purpose of his statement on Afghanistan and the actions he has taken," end quote. Looking like the Vietnam withdrawal of 1975, a handful of people have been killed Monday at the airport trying to escape Afghanistan. The Biden administration says the intelligence community is to blame. Democrat representative from California, Jackie Speier, on CNN.
This is a crisis of untold proportions. This is an intelligence failure. We underestimated the Taliban and overestimated the resolve of the Afghan army.
The Taliban captured Bagram Air Base on Sunday and released thousands of prisoners, including many senior Al-Qaeda operatives. USA Radio News.
I'm looking forward to a play date with my granddaughter.
Nana!
I can't wait to get together with my friends for a backyard barbecue.
If you're 65 or older, you're starting to get back to doing things you love. Did you know even healthy adults 65 and older are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia? It's a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Help protect yourself with the Prevnar 13 pneumococcal 13 valent conjugate vaccine, diphtheria CRM197 protein. Prevnar 13 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 13 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 13 does not protect against all strains of the disease. Ask your doctor or pharmacist today about Prevnar 13. Learn more at Prevnar13.com. Don't get Prevnar 13 if you have had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with a weakened immune system may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-866-694-9300 or visit Prevnar13.com.
Let's get a COVID-19 update with Dan Araki.
The spread of the Delta variant has led to a rise in COVID cases in the U.S. The country is averaging about 129,000 new cases per day over the last 7 days. Dr. Michael Osterholm believes the current pace could be sustained for at least another month. The director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy tells NBC News how the current uptick is spreading from its beginnings in the South.
We're now seeing in the Southeast, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, Southern Illinois all start to take off. We're seeing in the Northwest in states like Oregon and Washington. We're even seeing in the Midwest increases. So even if this increase that we're seeing in the Southern Sunbelt states, which has been dramatic, we're at 83,000 hospitalizations today. A month ago, we were at about 25,000. So it gives you a sense of what's happened just in the last month. And if these other states take off, then I think the surge could sustain itself for at least another 4 to 6 weeks.
USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Sadly, ladies and gentlemen, we can talk about any of these topics for hours. I say sadly because, man, we should have a moral compass in America. We should be the light on the hill. We should be a beacon for peace, following the Prince of Peace, whose author, Jesus Christ, is the author of our liberty. But, ladies and gentlemen, we are seriously, seriously in trouble. The book, Decent Interval, is an insider's account of Saigon, and the indecent end is told by one of the CIA analysts, Frank Snapp. Check out that book if you want an incredible expose. It's detailed and hard to read, but it's really critical to understand who, what, where, how, you know, etc. And the sad part is, doctor, we're repeating it every day almost in other lands. It is a shock. It is a shame, and it's got to stop.
In fact, I probably ought to clarify a little bit more. When I told my kids as a kid when things weren't worth a tinker's dam, they needed to understand what a tinker's dam was. And my comment at the end refers back to a statement that the Savior made back in John chapter 8. People might want to get this out. We as a nation claim as our founding fathers, those great wise men that were there to begin with, and we're not doing the works of our fathers. And it seems to the people in the times of the Savior that he accused them of being born of fornication, if you will, because they are not following their true father. And so read John chapter 8, verses 39 through 42. They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. I'm going to skip down a little to two verses. Well, let me do the one that fornication went of. Verse 41 says, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one God, one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came of myself, but he that sent me. Okay, so what happens is that these people are the head of the government today, are claiming the heritage of a grand and glorious beginning of the founding fathers that were raised up by God to bring this nation forward. And what they have done is they have fouled it up royally. I could say it much more strongly than that. But the fact of the matter is they are not following the commandments of those fathers that gave them the freedom at such great cost as us. And so I think they do have a heritage now that shows their true genealogy, if you will. Enough said, probably for a family.
Yeah, program. But ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this, though. We focus on the family. We focus on God, family, and country. And we believe that we can understand our real heritage, our godly heritage. We can understand our roots. Those of us can advocate for it. Those of us can really do our very best to advocate for a return thereto. That is our duty. That is our obligation. That is our hope, our prayer, our efforts on a daily basis. It will be our efforts till the day we die to promote God, family, and country and our godly heritage based on the principles of agency, based on the principles of God, family, and country, based on the principles of life, liberty, and property. And we will use our real, honest, true heritage to articulate that, to carry that out, and to do our very best to live that in our own personal lives and then teach others, share with others to do the very same. To give an example of a point, there used to be bastions in America that you could count on that were liberty-loving organizations. Like the Boy Scouts was a great example back in the day, and boy, howdy, have they spiraled down into oblivion and irrelevance. But Loyola University is another one of them. In Chicago, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know, but it has more than 17,000 students there. Despite its original Catholic heritage that normally holds to the sanctity of human life, now this school has trashed their students' religious convictions. Believe it or not, if you don't get the shots by August 6th, you would be disenrolled and not even permitted on campus anymore. This is how hostile these churches, these faith-based organizations are going against the people's agency, ladies and gentlemen. Never mind the truth that they're not safe and effective, proven by your government, but this Loyola University, what a shame it is. Now, here's the deal. The students objected to the vaccine mandates based on the fetal cell lines / abortion connection. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that since each of the three injections, that's Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J, were either produced or tested with aborted fetal cell lines. And J&J also, right now, has aborted fetal cell lines in the deployed shots. Okay, this is serious, and these students are saying, hey, we just can't go along with this. This goes against our pro-life stance. We cannot be using aborted fetal cells in these vaccines, and we cannot in good faith take these vaccines. And the university, Loyola University, literally says, don't care. Well, anyway, the battle was on, and this just shows how shameful it is. And before I give you the end of the story, doctor, comment on this one.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's their lead-in. Well, obviously, the nation has lost its moorings in terms of the sanctity of life. I mean, the idea that by a black-robed decree that mothers can kill their babies in their womb, and then this idea of going forth to war, I mean, you say, oh, I'm pro-life, I'm against abortion. Well, what about sending them when they're 18 years old to kill other people in other countries they've never met? Without unjust purposes. We have immorality at every single level. And this idea, which I have heard people try to justify themselves, oh, well, those aborted fetal tissues happened a long time ago, and by golly, it's a good cause. We just ought to put it together. I got news for people. They are still today, even as we speak, harvesting babies' organs. and some of them are harvested in horrific manner from living children that are viable based upon what we've found, how we can save babies that are born early. This is horrific, and we are justifying the devil's work when we do this kind of stuff. And for the I don't know if the Catholic Church still has a principal position in Loyola, but I look at other religious institutions that hold universities that are very, very much in favor of the jab in spite of the fetal tissue. It absolutely sickens me. And the fact that it was used, you know, the Ten Commandments, you know, I think they still haven't been rescinded. Sixth Commandment, thou shalt not kill. And you think about doing anything like unto that is got to be offensive to God. And I think of those religious leaders that cover their eyes and their ears, and they speak the lying words of, well, it's all for the good of us. We're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. And they're insisting that their membership, as well as other schools that they're involved in, participate in this. It's appalling to me. And by the way, this is a good lead-in to something. This is going to spread dramatically. I hope you've got a happy ending to this, because I want to talk for a minute about a bill before the United States House of Representatives.
Yep, we'll do that in that segment. The good news about this Loyola school thing is that Matt Staver of Liberty Council, LC.org, and others got involved, and they rolled back the Loyola abuse. And now they're letting these students, basically, as far as I understand, not only go on campus, but attend school and everything else. Now, I'm not sure why you'd want to go to school at a place like that anyway. After that abuse, I would basically not want to go to the school. So I appreciate the rollback. I appreciate Liberty Council's stand. And again, it just goes to show, when good people stand up for righteous causes, wonderful things happen. So I appreciate and I'm glad about this.
But Sam, did it go before a court? Did it go before a court, or was
it was going to, but then the Loyola backed away before the court happened.
Okay,
because they knew they were on shaky ground.
That to me is tragic, though, in a way. I would like to see everybody get fried at every level they possibly can on this thing.
What happens otherwise is you end up with a scenario where they're just like, no harm, no foul, let's do this next year or next week or on some other liberty issue, and eventually we'll have our way as creep continues and the people can't stand up to fight against everything. We've got to get some slam dunks is the point.
That's absolutely right, and I would like to see this thing carried to the floor. The floor of the House has got one already right now, but at any rate, we need to see that this path we're on has no sound foundation. And those that are seeking to bring it about really, really are, I consider them to be diabolical in their own right. I mean, I am just appalled, shocked, and
for sure, we need to drone them out of the system to never come back and abuse us again.
Absolutely.
And that's the problem. What we do is we win a case, and I'm grateful for it. Don't misunderstand the point. We're glad that, you know, Liberty Council stood up. We're glad these students have integrity. We're glad that this is highlighted in the news. But, for example, these fetal lines need to be discussed a whole lot more, too, in terms of the abortion and the all that's gone into the murder, the tissues that are in all these vaccines. I mean, that alone, in my opinion, grieves God for our pro-death agendas. We're going to try to stay alive on pro-death. Good luck with that plan. Why don't we turn to God Almighty? All right, quick pause. Dr. Bradley's got a very serious bill to discuss, and we hope it doesn't materialize or, you know, gain ground in our area or yours. Hang tight.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of content on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Share the word. Spread the tale. Let everybody know about the hard-hitting talk available at LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, Dr. Scott Bradley with me riding shotgun, FreedomsRisingSun.com is website, and boy, howdy, do we need a Freedom's Rising Sun, I'll tell you that right now. Son of Almighty God to be the helm, to be the mainstay of our nation, but oh man, we have missed the mark, ladies and gentlemen. We look in all the wrong places. You know, you hear the song Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Oh boy, howdy. Have we done that in spades? And we need to come back to our senses, to say the least. Dr. Bradley wants to warn us of a bill in Utah. Now, if you're not in Utah, don't fret. Oh,
nope.
It's a national
bill? It's
in
the United States. It's in the United States Congress. Yes, sir.
All right. A congressional bill coming your way that's disaster, doctor.
Well, first of all, before I mention this bill, you have mentioned Freedom's Rising Sun a number of occasions on this, and I will just, it came to my mind just last time you did, that if someone goes there now, they will find it eviscerated. I have been deplatformed and just gutted. 1,400 videos have been pulled. Deplatforming is a very, very diabolical form of censorship. And the freedom of speech is at great risk in the United States today. And the fascist way of doing it is having private industry control the narrative that the government wants put out there. So if you go there and look at it, you'll see that there's 1,400 videos missing. But anyway, we're looking for another platforming methodology. We're not there yet. You know, earlier in the broadcast, I quoted Gideon John Taylor, a judge out of New York in 1866, and when he said, "No man's life, liberty, or property are safe while the legislature is in session." And that, of course, applies whether it's at a state level or at a national level. And so I mentioned this. It's not an imminent danger, but it shows where we're going with this thing. This bill was introduced in the House of Representatives, United States House of Representatives, 10 days ago, 6th of August. It's H.R. 4980. I'll mention that a number of times here. But basically, it's a purpose, and this is out of its stated purpose at the beginning of the bill, to direct the Secretary of Homeland Security to ensure that any individual traveling on a flight that departs from or arrives to an airport inside the United States or a territory of the United States is fully vaccinated against COVID-19, comma, and for other purposes, period. So this is an all-inclusive, one-size-fits-all. You got to take the jab or you ain't going to travel. That means if you fly out of Salt Lake to go to Chicago, you got to have the jab, baby. You go anywhere, Kalispell, Montana, going or coming, whatever. You pick whatever airport you want. Departs from or arrives to an airport inside the United States. This is all-encompassing, a requirement that you get the jab. This is put forth by a representative out of New York. His name is Richie Torres. And it's gone, been, like I say, introduced 10 days ago. It's currently in the House, in the Homeland Security Committee. And it does not have any sponsors at this point. And consequently, its chances of moving forward are slim at this point. But that's the reason, I mean, I often suggest that Americans need to understand, they need to be aware. You can't just elect the bozos and buffoons that you put into office. And I'm going to say that almost without exception. There's probably a few exceptions out there that we could note, but they're so rare, it's hard to point them out. But the point of the matter is that people go, oh, I did my civic duty. I went down and voted. Well, an ignorant vote is more worthless than no vote at all, to tell you the truth, because you're 50-50 chances of voting wrong if you voted and you didn't know what was going on. We must keep the people that are our trusted representatives in check. We've got to hold them accountable to their oath of office. We must follow and track what they're doing every day as they sit in that cush job we sent them to do in the House or the Senate. And this particular instance, this guy has overstepped his bounds. You know, it's all encompassing. Think about what at Loyola. Oh, I guess I'm not going to go to that college because they've got a vaccine responsibility. This is saying if you're going to live your life. Now, we could go in and we could spend a great deal of time reviewing what the American founding fathers understood was a free man's God-given rights, among which was the privilege, freedom, blessing, and just unalienable right to be able to travel at will and not be impeded. And so here we're having, and they're using, I'm confident, the Interstate Commerce Clause, which was to make commerce and trade regular, a free trade example in the United States. The entire United States became as prosperous as we did because it was to be a free trade zone for the entire nation. But they're using it now as a control thing. And what's happening now is diabolical, and we are going to lose this battle if Americans don't start paying attention, if Americans don't engage themselves. And I'm saying more and more now, I'm sorry. I am sorry, but I'm getting more and more concerned that a peaceful restoration, which is what we constantly pray for, will even be possible. We are so far down this pathway, and those that are precipitating this believe that they're on the front end of a curve that can't be stopped. There must be widespread resistance. In fact, it's got to be almost universal now to everything. I saw a thing here recently. It said the Delta variant is the fool me twice part of it. You know, you've heard the saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me twice is the Delta variant. It's time that people say, we are not going to capitulate. We will not go back into hunkered up and bunkered down. This will never end. There will always be a Lambda, Delta, sorority or something. I don't know what the heck that they're putting out there for all of these variants. You'll be called on constantly to take another jab. Let's take the booster shot. Let's get another variant going here. And honestly,
folks, let's
lock
down. Let's deny liberty everywhere. Let's all on the altar of safety. You know, we want to make sure you can see your family into the future. Problem is, for the elderly, what happens is they lie and you never get to see your family and then you die. That's the reality, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want to mention a little bit more about this bill. Look out for H.R. 4980 is what Dr. Bradley's saying. It's a bill put in the U.S. House of Representatives 10 days ago. No co-sponsors. Thank the heavens for that. But it says this, though, to direct the Secretary of Homeland Security to ensure that any individual traveling on a flight that departs from or arrives to an airport inside the United States or a territory of the United States is fully vaccinated against COVID-19. And then it says, and for other purposes. Now, the four other purposes you can drive a truck through. I'll leave that alone this very second, but here's what I want to mention. This Homeland Security is now the operating arm that this guy wants to use, this whacked out congressman wants to use, to carry this ball. But again, we go right back to, again, the Republicans, right back to Joe Biden's current failure on Afghanistan and everything else. It's all wrapped up into this Homeland Security thing. We're just adding insult to injury with this. Without Homeland Security, you know, he wouldn't be able to peddle for this. But the Republicans pushed that. It's, again, it's two sides of the same bird of prey, or two wings of the same bird of prey, as Pat Buchanan used to say, that's at the helm of this, Doctor. This is diabolical, and Homeland Security created by the Republicans is being used as the catalyst now for this.
No question about it. This is a monster. This is a Gestapo. This is a brown shirts. I don't know what you want to call them. These are the jackbooted thugs. They could easily evolve into that. And the Founding Fathers, as I mentioned, in the beginning of this great republic, they all studied Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England. They were English citizens. They considered themselves free men. And in original volume one, it talks about this idea of travel. It says, next to personal security, the law of England regards, asserts, and preserves the personal liberty of individuals. This personal liberty consists in the power of locomotion, of changing situation, or removing one's person to whatsoever place one's own inclination may direct. Okay, so Sam, you could go out, go down to the store if you want. You're not restrained. There's nothing that according to what free men are supposed to be able to do, and that's exactly what the Americans considered themselves, when the king began to oppress them through his onerous acts, they pushed back. It became so entrenched in them that the things that they were willing to die for were far less onerous than what we're having imposed upon us today. Their taxes were far less, for crying out loud. We vote our taxes in, for crying out. How stupid is that? We do things like we put people into office, like this Torres guy that wants to lock us down. We put people in governor's mansions that want to, by mandate, say, yea, verily, thus saith the Lord, everything I say is the law of the land. That we don't have monarchs. Limits and bounds are dictated by constitutions. Those that can create law are defined within constitutions. The limits and bounds of those laws are defined by constitutions. Governors never, and neither does presidents, have authority to create law. And where the legislature has authority to create law, those laws must be created within the limits and bounds of the Constitution. This is why we must be alert. They say the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. It's been said a number of times. We could talk about the origins of that, but it's true nevertheless. We must be eternally vigilant. And when things like this happen, go to congress.gov. Look regularly. It's what's being put on the plates of those people back there. And you know, when you talk about what you
ladies
just read, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business indeed. And it's something to where, you know what, we're going to have to start a amount of pushback. And I've always been very careful to say we want a restoration, not a revolution. And I still agree with that viewpoint. We want to be defensive in nature. But we need to be offensive when it comes to the protection of our lives, liberty, and property. We need to go on the offense when it becomes the promotion of God, family, and country. And there's a big difference between a defensive effort when it comes to war or revolution and an offensive effort when it comes to peaceful restoration. We need to be defensive in war, but offensive in our restoration of the liberties that we now, you know what, for our whole lives have felt like, hey, they're there. We kind of take them for granted. Now they're on the altar, every single one of them. The enemies of liberty are going for broke. They're using COVID as a weapon. They're using climate change as a weapon. And these weapons are being used to destroy your individual liberty and your family. And I'm telling you right now, we the American people need a man of pushback like you've never seen before. And it starts with turning to God Almighty for guidance, getting on your knees and praying for forgiveness and opportunity and solution and inspiration, and then getting up and going to work, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what we ask you to do. 20 seconds, Doctor, the final word's yours.
Okay, pray and seek my face, going back to 2 Chronicles, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I they hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I think that's the bottom line.
Amen. God bless you. God bless all the work that you're doing. We pray that we can get Freedom Rising Sun website back and find another platform. Ladies and gentlemen, they're making it hard for us, but we're going to keep up the fight every single day to the best of our ability to promote God, family, and country. For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic of the United States of America.